Welcome to the Audible Ecstasy Podcast. Each week we sit around and discuss the music from our past. Sometimes we agree.
I call it iconic. It's a 10. That riff is it's incredible.
Clearly a 10. This is one of the most iconic songs of the 80s.
Iconic from start to finish.
And sometimes we disagree.
The song sounds like something you might hear at your aunt's funeral.
The absolute worst lyrics ever.
With the juvenile flush on that one, I'm not dealing with that. I'm not dealing with that crap.
Thank you for listening and enjoy the show.
All right, guys, we are back with another Audible Ecstasy Podcast bonus edition. This week, we got special guest Jesse. He is back again for some insight and his pick. This week, we're doing the album The Grand Illusion by Styx. Guys, y'all ready to get into this?
I'm ready. Jesse, I got to tell you, man, ahead of time, I was going to pull a clip and play it as your introduction clip. There was a cheesy Disney TV show called Jesse back in the day, and it was Debbie Ryan was on it. It was like, hey, Jesse. And I was like, I can't do this. It's so lame. It would just like, you guys would be staring at me.
You should have lamed it up. No, we should have lamed it up.
It was so bad.
I think that'd have been cool.
We should have lamed it up.
Maybe next time, man.
Jeez. Yeah. Jesse, we're glad you're here, man.
I might pull it in post and like make that the outro song. We'll see. I don't know.
There you go. Yeah. Thanks for having me on, y'all.
Absolutely. You know, as some listeners may not realize, Anthony, our other co-host, is on vacation still. He's taking extended vacation at the end of summer for his kids before they go back to school. And Jesse so graciously offered up some music for us to choose from. We had a great list to pick. We went with a little bit of a different choice. We had never done Styx, an outstanding band from the 70s and 80s. I'm looking forward to doing this, guys. This should be a fun one.
Yep. I can't believe we've never done them, to be honest. I mean, 3 years we've been doing this. I cannot believe we've never done Styx, but here we are.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, let's get this thing rolling. We're going to start off with track number one. It's called The Grand Illusion. Hit it, Chris. So, guys, first track, it's already making you think. Lyrically invoking, what are they talking about on this record? How's this thing starting out? And it absolutely, I think it's a great medley in it. I love the vocals of Dennis DeYoung. I think with the background harmonies of Tommy Shaw, you can hear it in the background as they go throughout the song. I believe that the lyrically, I mean, it's funny how you think about it, because Styx was already a fairly big rock act at this point in time, and they're writing an album based off of fame, the grand illusion of what fame brings, and it's not exactly what everybody thinks it is. I love it. I love how this thing starts out. Powerful. I love the groove. I love the riff. And yes, it is recorded like in 76, 77, and the production's not it's not as great or grandiose as a Pink Floyd album for that era, but it's still fantastic. I love how it starts off. I think this is somewhere between, between excellent and outstanding. I gave this one an 8.5. I think it's a great way to start the record out. Jesse, go ahead and follow me up. What do you think about The Grand Illusion starting this record?
Nice. This is a good, strong start, man. I mean, you know, especially for, you know, title track, that's how it should have been. You know, it's you know, probably my first or second favorite song on this record.
Yeah.
Starts out strong. Like, the lyrics are actually, you know, pretty meaningful for a 70s rock band. They usually kind of like not the most substance.
Sure.
You know, like the keyboards and organs in this have this kind of grimy sound. I don't know if it's through like some type of like rotary speaker or if it's just how it was
like the a actual circus synthesizer style, they man. Used. Yeah.
It's groovy. Yeah. And so a note that I made, it sounds like you would be walking through like a carnival or a circus or something. There'd be some dude with a top hat and a suit singing parts of the song, trying to lure you into the tent to come watch this show. You know what I mean? Like a big top show or something like that. So, I love this song. It's one of those that technically not a single, but I always just assumed it was because I always heard it on the radio. And, you know, this one was one of those that my dad, it was the last 8-track we had in our house. Even well after
nice.
The 8-track player was gone, he just sat on a shelf in the basement for years, just the 8-track version of this. So, and I'd mentioned this to Chris, I'll be pretty brief with this story. When you turn like a certain age, you get weirded out. Like a lot of people hit 30 and they're kind of like, oh, you know, I'm getting old and all that stuff. And, you know, being a little bit older than that now, 30 is obviously not a big deal. But the day I turned 30, I was driving to work. And I was like, it's my birthday. It's like, I'm turning 30. It's a little weird, you know, getting old. Got bummed out for a few seconds. But I was listening to classic hits from the 70s, 80s, and 90s on 102.7. And The Grand Illusion came on.
Wow.
While I was on the way to work. And I just listened to the lyrics. And I was just like, that's kind of cool. It made me feel better. And now every single birthday, 13 years later, first thing I do, I get up, go down to my turntable, put on The Grand Illusion, blast side A, song one, The Grand Illusion, and then I go about my day.
That's awesome.
It's a birthday tradition. I'm 13 years into at this point.
Dude, that's fantastic, man. Holy smokes.
So, God. But that one, I give 10 out of 10 just because I love the song.
Wow, yeah.
Lyrics, it's a good, strong opening song.
So, golly. Yeah,
I'll go 10 on that.
Here we go. All right. Chris, final thoughts or your thoughts of The Grand Illusion, sir?
Just get right to it. Yeah. So I'm going to do a few song facts. I'm going to take over for Anthony. I've only got song facts on four of these songs, so I'll try to keep it brief. This one doesn't have a lot, actually, but there was one kind of interesting note on it. It says in a 1978 radio interview, Dennis DeYoung explained how he told a friend that he wanted to title a song The Grand Illusion, you know, for previously before a phone call he had with this friend. So the friend calls him back one day and says, hey, whatever happened to that song you had about The Grand Illusion? And Dennis said, man, I forgot all about that. He hung up the phone and immediately went to work, wrote the song, and like that's how that song was born. He'd had the idea. A friend of his called him and reminded him of it. He'd totally forgotten and said, oh, yeah, let's go ahead and write that song. Wow. I will say that another note that was on here said that Tommy Shaw grew irritated with many of DeYoung's bombastic songs and grand concepts, but he always appreciated this one. So he was, I guess they had a lot of strife going on between those two guys. It seems like there's probably a pretty big story there, but because it seems like they're always kind of taking shots at each other in some of these notes, I've noticed. So, but yeah, apparently they both really love this song. For me, it's got a great kind of marching band style that kind of kicks the song off. It's got a lot of twists and turns. It's a positive, uplifting message. That's a really good story you had, Jesse, about that. I agree. When you hit the ones that hit the end in zeros, 20 doesn't, but like from 30 on, I think they all hurt a little bit every time you hit that zero, man. So it's just like, damn, okay,
Jesse.
Yeah. And just so you know, when you hit 50... AARP mails you stuff, so like then it's really like, oh my god, seriously, okay, well here we go. But yeah, it's got a great guitar solo. Thoroughly enjoyed that. It's a really good way to open an album. I'm probably a little low. I said it was great. I gave it a 7. I'll leave it there. But I can totally see an argument for a higher score on this song. But
okay, no. Before we get started, clearly now, listeners at home, you guys all know Chris's style of music. This does not fall in his main swing of tunes. He is a blues rock guru. This leans
guru. I don't know if that's true.
Well, yeah. You know what I mean, Chris. Yeah, that's what you, honestly, 9 times out of 10, if you're going to pull something random, you're going to pull yourself a blues rock album. This is a prog rock album and late prog rock for these guys. Mm. And these are short songs considering the genre of prog rock. So it is a different listen. It's more of a, this album is an intended listen. And once you become a fan, it's like it's nothing. It just becomes second nature to you. So I get it. I know why you scored as good as you did. You know, honestly, I was kind of worried on some of these songs. I am worried. I ain't going to lie to you. But I knew that I'm going to be a little bit high because I do like the guitar stuff. I like this, you know, this prog rock atmosphere that my daughter has suddenly turned me into a prog rock monster. And Jesse, I know a lot of your history. I know that you do lean this way when it comes to a lot of this prog rock, punk rock, pop punk, stuff like that, that really drove your youth. Because you had a great upbringing with your dad bringing all this good music to you. You know, I was lucky to have similar stuff as well when it came to some of the 70s classic rock stuff. So unfortunately, Styx wasn't one of those bands. I didn't get the true introduction to them till later in life. So wow, this is gonna be, like I said, I anticipate this to be a great eye-opening experience for us in general, because we don't necessarily review this style of music a lot. So heck, and speaking of fantasticness, let's go to track number 2, Fooling Yourself. Here we go. So Fooling Yourself, this is one of the songs from the record I was super familiar with before going back and listening to this. And this was a pretty big hit for these guys back in the day. This is where Tommy Shaw takes over the vocal lines. And there's not too much of a contrast from Dennis DeYoung. They both have that high-pitched voice. They both harmonize so well together. And this track, I mean, this song is the perfect balance of this rock energy they're bringing to this record. I think the vocals, emotionally charged, you can hear it in Tommy's voice, and harmonies for days, for the love of God. Jesus Christ, the harmonies are so great on this song. And then you've got incredible bass work that drives the song along, and then you've got the guitar work that kicks in behind it. So, I mean, this song works for what it does. I think it's mesmerizing. It's something that really has stood the test of time as far as a single goes. And it's, I believe that this is one that will carry on forever because it's such a catchy, such a great song. I mean, it still plays radio to this day. You hear it all the time, classic rock radio. I know that I'm fanboying, starting to come out early on me on this record. I think this is iconic for the band. I think this is iconic for the genre. I gave this one a 10. I think it's perfection. Jesse, what'd you think about Fooling Yourself?
Nice. This is a good song. I mean, it's it's one of those that pretty much, whether you like Styx or not, you're going to be familiar with. Yeah. Just if you're into like old rock, you know, even like anything from hard rock to classic rock, you will have heard this song. It's one of their biggest hits. It's just kind of like, this is how Styx is. This song is the perfect way to introduce somebody to Styx. It's like, it's rock, but it's still like got this kind of whimsical sound.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah.
I mean? Especially with like the keyboards and stuff like that. I love the bass line in this song. The keyboard solos, you know, I read up a little bit on this song just because I didn't really know anything about it, but I heard it a million times, and it talked about all the crazy different like time signatures they used. And, you know, I was like, that's pretty wild. I never really thought about it, but the keyboard solo is just wild in that song. And one thing that really stood out is at around 3 minutes and 3 seconds into the song, I was listening to this with headphones, and, you know, I'm sure y'all gave it a few listens with headphones too when you had a chance. And it's a good album to listen to with headphones because Chris and I were talking, you know, Chris was like, there's a lot kind of going on in there in the background. And at 3 minutes and 3 seconds, around about, there's something that he says, and I can't tell what he says. It's almost sounds like he says, "Come on, Jolly Roger." Like, I don't know what he actually says, though. So, like, if anybody ever goes back, let me know what that is. And I was listening to it on Spotify with headphones last night. So, if I had this track isolated, I could, like, go back and, like, kind of turn up that frequency, like, on recording software or something like that. But I didn't have time to do that. So okay, here's what, I just thought that was funny.
I've got you. At the 3:04 mark, a faint voice comes in just before Dennis DeYoung launches into a synthesizer solo. It's Tommy Shaw saying, "Come on, Doctor," a reference to DeYoung's nickname. So there you go. That was in Song Effects. I remember going through that when I saw it.
Awesome. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't even see that. That's great.
That's all. Dude, I'm glad. Like, I quickly kind of Googled it and I couldn't find anything on it. So I was just like, all right, maybe Chris or Jimmy heard this. So awesome. I'm like, come on, Doctor. Okay. Come on, Jolly Roger. I was a little off, obviously, but that's cool. But yeah, I mean, this is a great song. I kind of come in a little low with it. I think I gave it an 8.
Oh, wow.
But I mean, I think just 8 for my personal preference. Sure. Now, I think Jimmy rated it like as iconic, which I really think it is, because this embodies what Styx is about, I think. So, I mean, I could see if you're just rating it like, in a general sense, like compared to other Styx songs or just compared to any rock songs in general of the era, I think it is definitely iconic, but I'm just kind of comparing it to other songs on the album.
It's all in how you, dude, it's all in how you take it in. And I had a, you know, I knew I may be high on that song, but I always loved it. I think it's one of my favorite Styx songs, and it's just something that I think stood the test of time for me. So that's how I see it. All right.
Yeah. I think I come in a little low, but you know, okay. It's all good.
You're okay. Chris, what'd you think about Fooling Yourself?
Okay, so the song fact, the one song fact, I'm glad you said that because I didn't even include that, but I remember reading it when I was like, okay, I'm going to have to go look this up while you're talking there. So this one, Styx guitarist Tommy Shaw wrote this song, which was in part a message to his bandmate, Dennis DeYoung, who hated touring and often seemed miserable, said Shaw in an interview. In a way, that song was from me to Dennis. The seeds of discontent had started to take over on the road. The rest of us were really happy all the time, but Dennis wasn't getting quite the same joy. I was trying to tell him that there was a way with all this stuff going on just to enjoy it more. And he, you know, he was frustrated to see someone so talented and loved, but just not getting as much out of the experience. So that's what this song, it's him saying to the young, lighten up, man, we're living a dream, you know, and for whatever reason, I don't know, it's again, a lot of shots back and forth here. I'm not sure what the, it seems like they liked each other, but I don't know, it does seem like there was some strife going on there, as far as my review goes. Similar vibes to the opening song, there is that kind of keyboard, carnivalish stuff going on in this song as well. I do prefer this one a little more to the opening song. Very smooth chorus, very singable. You're right, Jimmy. It's hard to tell these guys apart sometimes. This was Tommy singing this one, right? And Dennis sang the first one, right? It's crazy because they sound very, very similar, honestly. And to have that high pitch of voice, how rare is it two guys sound that similar with high vocals like that? Yeah, I like the bass line. You're right. It's very good. I gave it a 9. I think it's excellent. I'm not gonna go iconic on this one. I mean, yes, I knew the song when I heard it and everything, but
sure,
there is one truly iconic song on this album, and to give another 10 seems like, okay, it's not the same. I mean, it's just, let's just be honest. So haters to me, I think it's an outstanding song, so I gave it a 9.
Fair enough, man. No, I get it, guys, and saw and how it hit you. And believe it or not, I mean, this is something, like, my daughter is, like I'm telling y'all, she's become, or she is just a prog rock crazy right now. She loves it. And this is even her favorite song on this record. So, you know, this is one of those things I'm like, what? She doesn't even know about popular radio yet. She just knows it by albums. So that's a great thing. She hasn't been tainted. Her mind hasn't been tainted to think what was on the radio was the good songs from a lot of these bands. Because, you know, everybody's brainwashed, yes, Roundabout, for example. Well, go back to that. That's not even her favorite song, dude, from that album, from Fragile. So, you know, I'm like, what? Because she just loves it. She's taking it in. And I love that innocent reception of music, not having any prior you know, any kind of prior push one way or direction, one way or the other. So, and it's the same thing with this. I mean, she has no idea what the radio hits were. She just likes how certain songs sound. So, you know, I love it. Let's carry on. Track three, Superstars. See you read about me in the papers. You see me on the movie screen. You know everything there is to know about me. I'm your late night fantasy. But don't think I can't hear your calling from the shadow of the void. All right, so I'm going to say something about Superstars. So this song, in my ears, I hadn't heard it in a long time. I have listened to this album in the past 10 years because I just discovered it basically 10 years ago for an album. But listening to this, going through it, I'm thinking this song is absolutely mediocre coming off of The Grand Illusion and coming into Fooling Yourself for that first couple of moments until the harmonies kick in and it just takes over. Holy crap, dude. It makes it like a different song whenever Shaw and DeYoung harmonize in this thing. And I get it. Shaw, this is Shaw's song. And I lyrically, it's following the line of The Grand Illusion about fortune and fame. I get that. But this song comes to life when the harmonies kick in. And that's why it elevates my rating a little bit higher than what it originally would have been. Because to me, at first, I was like, God, this is going to be a mare or good. That's it. No, sir. Once those harmonies caught me and just made me want to sing along, holy smokes, I think this song is great. I'm at a 7. Jesse, what'd you think about Superstars?
Well, man, this song, and I've went back and forth on this album between my favorite song, either Superstars or Grand Illusion.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And yeah. And the first time I heard this song was I bought this, like I'd heard songs, you know, when I was young and stuff, but never really let it sit in. I bought this at a record shop in Radford or Blacksburg, maybe 2002 or three for like nice. $2 yeah, or something right, like right. that. And sat down and listened to it and was like, wow. And it hit this song. And I love that like real cheesy kind of tinny sound, the way the song starts out. Like you think it's just going to be kind of like this cheesy little pop filler song. Right. But I like that. I was like, this song's great. This is awesome. And then when the harmonies kicked in,
yeah, dude.
That's when it got,
it's otherworldly.
It gets real.
It does. It's great.
It is a beautiful harmony on the chorus of this song. I love it. It's got that big show kind of sound too, like the yes, the circus announcer, carnival announcer, yeah. or something like that. The break in the middle that, like Dennis DeYoung does that part.
Yeah, the spoken song. One. Yep.
Yeah, it's just such a good song, man. But the like, I think this is probably one of the best examples of like those two harmonizing.
Yeah.
That there possibly is, you know, or maybe, you know, for like a deeper cut or something like that. But that just shows how well those two guys mesh when they sing. I love this song. I gave a song a 10, man. I mean, I know again, this is me, I guess, skewing the scoring system. This is me, like 10, like Jesse likes it.
It's your ears, brother.
So it's 10. You know, it's not so much like iconic, because this is definitely not an iconic song. You know, it fully embodies what Styx is in terms of the harmonies and like the sound, and it fits perfectly in this album. Like side A, you're sensing the theme, right? It's just kind of got that big top sound and, you know, kind of grandiose sound with the synthesizers and stuff like that. Yeah. And this is perfect, you know, goes perfectly with that. So,
well,
yeah,
just to be clear, our scale is not iconic. It's perfection. So if this is Styx perfection in your ears, then it should deserves a 10, man. That's what
I look at. And I get it.
There we go.
It has all the elements of what Styx does so well. So I get it. Jesse, I didn't even think about it, but when you started nodding your head about the harmonies, I started talking, I was like, Jesse's going to go high on this one. So I'm like, wow. All right. So that's great, dude. And it's like I've said, and don't get me wrong, Anthony is the same way. He'll have stuff that we don't necessarily hear, but he hears it as Fantastic Perfection. And I get it. It's when it grabs you. Obviously, Fooling Yourself is my example for this record, because everything else I kind of feel like feels in line, but I fanboyed that song because I love it. I absolutely love that song, and I think it embodies Styx in my ears. So, all right, Chris, Superstars.
Okay, well, there are no song facts on this one, so I'll just get right to my review. When I was listening to this, the first song that kind of came to mind was, it sounds a little bit like a Cheap Trip song at the beginning there, at Surrender or something like that. That's kind of what I picked up when I first started listening to it. But yeah, it's a solid song. It's got a strong chorus, and the background vocals are top-notch. I agree 100% with that. There's kind of some dual guitars going on in that guitar solo, which is pretty cool. I don't know if that's overdubbing or if that's actually two guys playing at the same time. Sometimes the studio does a little magic there, so it's hard to tell what that is. But I don't know. How many guitarists do they have in this band? Is it just Tommy, or
I think on this album they got two. I think they had two on this album.
So maybe they have two.
I guess most of their career.
Well, yeah, Young and Shaw are your guitarists on this record. So and I think they've been a two guitar band for a long time. It's just that Young bounces from keyboards to guitar.
Yeah.
Live, it's mostly just Tommy, but yeah, there's two guitarists on this record.
Okay. And I did enjoy that whole kind of Carnival Barker thing they had going on in the middle there too. That's pretty cool the way they do that. And for an album, called The Grand Illusion, and the album cover kind of has this carnival theme going on. It's fitting that they kind of have that in the sound of the music as well. So I give it a 7 as well. I think it's a great song, Jimmy. I kind of agree with you on that. But Jesse, totally no need to apologize for going in high on a song that you feel fits the genre and the time and everything. I mean, if it's perfection, it's perfection. So,
Absolutely. There's no shame in the scoring system. My God. Yep. It's all about how it hits you. And I've said it a million times on this podcast. That's great, man. That's great. All right. So we go to track 4, a little tune called Come Sail Away.
So the story goes, but somehow we missed out on the pot of gold, but we'll try.
It's the point of the song, you just want to continue playing because it takes you in. This right here, guys, Come Sail Away, it's an iconic song. There's no doubt about it. I mean, it's a highlight from this record, without a doubt. It blends that soft ballad with that calm vocal style that Dennis DeYoung brings in, and then it just explodes with the harmonies later on throughout the song. I love how they break down. Like, you got the perfect part of this song when it goes from ballad to a rocker, and it becomes a rocking masterpiece at that point. Honestly, I don't know a lot of guitar songs by Styx on guitar. I know that riff, that's the one I know. So I know that breakdown, because it's always grabbed me, and I always have loved how that breaks into it. I love the lyrics behind this song, how it's talking about he thinks he's seeing angels, and in the end, it's actually aliens taking him. That is awesome. I mean, you guys ever notice that? It's crazy. It is crazy, man.
I mean,
but I mean, he's talking. It's just lyrically, it's a great concept, and it makes you kind of think about angelic beings, and then you think about aliens. What's the tie in here? So, and especially with what's going on in the United States today, with all the alien stuff going on, we got spaceships appearing out of nowhere and alien abductions. I don't know. It's crazy. But I love this song, man. I love this song, and Anthony would be going crazy on this song right now, no doubt about it. I think it's perfection for Styx. I gave it a 10. Jesse, what do you think?
Well, I mean, in the most simplistic of terms, this is just a beautiful song. Yeah. Like, it's a beautiful song, man. There's no doubt about it. And the cool thing is, like, everybody in the band gets the, like, this is almost like everybody's time to shine. Like, there's the bass line, it's kind of buried in the mix, but it's really good. Like, it changes up. It's nice. There's kind of all these crazy keyboard solos. The guitars are just, like, rocking. The drummer gets a chance to kind of come out into the mix. So, like, this is a good showcase of, like, everybody in the band. Like, the melodies in this song. Like, when he hits the high note, when he's like, "We're headed for the sky." You know, yeah. That part. My goodness, man. That part gets me every time. Like, I love this song. And the one thing I love about this song is it represents what my cousin, a concept my cousin and I refer to as the beauty of Freebird concept. Right.
Oh my God. Here we go.
At a high school dance once when we were in eighth or ninth grade. We're sitting there and in the '90s they still played Freebird at middle school and high school dances. And then it's over, my cousin just walks up to me and he's like, "Yep, that's the beauty of Freebird, man." He's like, "You get a slow dance with a pretty girl, then you get a fast dance with a pretty girl." And it's always stuck with me. And this song is like that. If you guys ever saw the episode of Freaks and Geeks.
Oh, like the first it's in my episode, notes, man. It's in my notes.
That is that concept coming to life on the TV screen. So it's awesome. I give this song a 10, man. It's a perfect Styx song. I love it.
Oh, God. I love it. All right, Chris.
You took one of my song facts, man. Sorry. I'm going to read it anyway. All right, here's some song facts. There's some good ones in here, too. Since Jesse touched on this, in the first episode of the first and sadly only season of the 1999 TV series Freaks and Geeks, this song is playing when a geeky freshman finally gets to dance with his dream girl. But as soon as they hit the dance floor, the song goes from ballad to rocker, so they end up dancing apart. I remember that too, man. I had to grab that when I saw that.
That was a great show. Yeah.
It's a couple more notes here. This song is a personal one for DeYoung, who wrote it about struggling to break through the next level of Styx. Formed in the early 70s, they grew a solid fan base, but were always a supporting act for bands like Bob Seger, Foghat, Rush, Kiss, Aerosmith, etc. Never the headliners. This song kind of about that. But the funniest note that I saw about this, now get this. This being the 70s, radio stations played a big role in promoting songs, and program directors could often be swayed with gifts of money and drugs. I said payola, of course, was illegal, but that didn't stop Styx guitarist Tommy Shaw and the band's promo man Jim Cahill from traveling to many radio stations with bags of cocaine in an effort to get more airplay for the song. The tactic worked. Cahill explained that he said that the directors were like penguins since they'd follow you around if you had snow. So apparently they drove around to get to record stations and bribed guys with cocaine to play Come Sail Away on the radio. And thus this hit was born.
I did not see that coming. That's a great, great story. Oh, my God.
So, yeah, this song, I mean, I can't say much more than you guys said. We all know it. Holy Most people craps. Love it. That buildup where the drums kick in is fantastic. I mean, it's almost as iconic. That part is like, you know, in the air tonight, you know, with the drums when they kick in. You're just waiting for it. You know it's coming as soon as you hear it. Vocals are top-notch. The background vocals are top-notch. It's perfection for not just them, for the decade, for just classic rock in general. It's an easy 10. Almost an 11 on this one, if you're going to throw an 11 somewhere. Yeah,
that's right. That is right. Oh, my God. All right. Well, let's flip this record over. We're going to go to track 5, Miss America. Chris?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Miss America starts side two off, honestly, with a bang. This is something that I could not remember, but going back and listening to it for the past week, I'm like, holy crap, this song's a rocker. I mean, it's catchy hooks. I mean, bass heavy, vibrant rhythm going throughout this whole tune. And those guitar riffs, oh my God, dude. It's like the heaviest riffs on the record, to be honest with you. You know, you got a new vocalist stepping in right now with James Young singing the top lines. It's crazy. And his vocal style, this is the one vocal that you can tell it's not Shaw or DeYoung. I mean, it's clearly somebody different. And it's so energetic. It's a different, it's very pleasing to the ears to hear something a little bit different. And in going back to the circus theme, it sounds like he's almost like that conductor or whatever you want to call the grand master of the circus there, kind of leading it on. I mean, it's like things are getting crazier, so to speak. I think it's super infectious. It really grew on me, like I said earlier. I think it adds depth to this record. This song is excellent. I gave it an 8. Jesse, what do you think about Miss America?
Nice. This is a... I think it's an interesting song in that it's not one of the two main vocalists like Jimmy touched on. That's cool. This is like, that's a mean riff in this song, man. Like, it's a good hard driving rock song. And to be honest with you, I've never had a whole lot of love for side B of this album. Like, I like it, but like, I didn't spend as much time listening to side B as I did side A over the years. So it's kind of cool to get to know this side. That's a great riff. It's a hard driving song. Solo's cool. I think at the beginning of this one, I kind of had the little like keyboard solo at the beginning, which don't really like kind of mesh with the rest of the song so much. It's almost just like a little intro, and it's quickly forgotten. But this kind of sounds almost like a hard rock song, like Heart or something like that, like one of those types of riffs that you hear from like a, you know, Heart song or something like that in the 70s. And this represents, I guess, the maybe some of the tension between the rock side of things and the more kind of, I don't know, kind of like show tune grandiose stuff that Dennis DeYoung had going on. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like they're all rock songs, but like, I think, you know, at this point they were kind of, some people were wanting to be more rock and some people were kind of be more like kind of out there with classical influences and stuff like that. So this song is kind of just like breaking out of that and just going straight into a good hard rock song. I give it a 6. It might be a little low because that, like in hearing it again, just even listening to it right there, I was like, dude, that riff is mean. I like that. That's a dirty guitar riff. I like it. So I'm probably coming a little low, but
it's okay.
It's a killer song.
For sure. I think what definitively it's so much different than what the other songs are on this record. And that's why I think it's why it stood out. I mean, I almost would say sleeper on this tune, but it's a great, great sleeper song. Yeah. I mean, Yeah. All right, Chris, go ahead. Talk to us about Miss America.
So there's only one song fact on this, and actually these are all the song facts I have left, nothing else on this album. So it says about James Young with this song, he wrote it about his wife, Susie, who suffers from a rare incurable condition called, I'm not sure I'm going to pronounce this right, porphyria, which is a liver disorder in which basically, I'm not going to get into the disease or anything, but basically she's got like an incurable liver disorder. It's a love song, not a typical one, as Young delivers the snarling lyric with lines like, does this smile seem to wear you down? But it's, this song is singing about her struggle, with this disease. So I'm not sure I would have ever caught that from the lyrics or anything, but I found that interesting. Yeah. Well, it's my favorite song. You mentioned that opening line. I listened to it a few times and I finally was like, wait a second. That, you know, the song, There She Is, Miss America, that's
what it's from.
That's them playing that song on the keyboards as their intro. So that's the reason they did it. I thought it was a little strange too when I first heard it. And I was like, oh, as a matter of fact, when I wrote this out earlier in the week, I was like, don't care much for the intro. And then I was like, oh, okay. That's what that is.
Totally went over my head.
I caught it like Saturday when I was actually pulling clips. I was like, wait a second, that's the intro to There She Is, Miss America. But anyway, nasty, nasty guitar riff. Drum wise, it's tremendous. Some great drum fills in there. That's kind of, Jesse, I was a little surprised. I thought you'd, because I know you're a drum guy, I figured you really like that part of it. It's absolutely the most rocking song on this album. Solid guitar solo. It's definitely my sleeper. One of my favorite songs on the album. I'd give it 8.5. I think it's between excellent and outstanding. Yeah. And he's kind of their Joe Walsh, right? He's like, every so often pops up and sings a song, but it's like there's two main guys, and then, I mean, he sounds a lot better than Joe Walsh, in my opinion, but.
How dare you.
That's great. Drunk uncle, I like to call Joe Walsh.
Hey, if it works, it's all matters, right?
I
all
guess.
Right. Let's go to track six. It's called Man in the Wilderness, Chris. So this is another one of those interesting songs by Styx, Man in the Wilderness. I mean, it really is like it's a ballad at first. It really is. And then it starts rocking again. DeYoung's vocals, they're very emotional. It sounds like he's got a lot of heart coming through his vocal lines in this. And, you know, it kind of grabs you. And then the harmonies, that's what grabs me when you've got Shaw jumping in and Young jumping in the background, bringing it all together. The song really is, it seems like it's maybe, and I don't know lyrically what this song stands for, but it sounds like he's delivering a heartfelt message to somebody. And that's what it sounds like to me. I think the song is somewhere between great and excellent. I'm at a 7.5 on this one. Jesse, what'd you think about Man in the Wilderness?
Yeah, this just isn't my song, man. It just me, it just doesn't hit the mark. I like it. Like, the solo is really good. And when it does kick in, and starts rocking
yeah, dude,
out
that rocker.
Like
Jesus.
Yeah, that is, you know, that's a killer riff, like, and the solo is killer. It's just, there's parts of it kind of remind me of kind of maybe like a Foreigner song or something like that, with like a little more keyboards, just kind of like the slower part of the song. So this is just one that kind of, I don't know, I think it sounds like it belongs on the album, and I don't necessarily think it's like, it's not like a filler track or anything like that. I like it, but I ended up kind of scoring it, you know, a little low. I gave it a 4. It's just not my.
Oh wow, man! Thing.
It's a good song. I mean, it's implied that like every song on this album is a well played, really good song, just because of the musicianship of the band. Again, sure. This is just kind of my take on it. So yeah,
no, it's fair enough. Chris, what are your thoughts on Man in the Wilderness?
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, it's a decent song. I don't have strong feelings on it. I do like the twist at the 3:30 mark there, and that's the part I grabbed because of where it kicks in. It's good. But it takes 3 minutes and 30 seconds to get to that part when most of it's just kind of boring, floating around. I agree with Jesse. I did rate it a little higher. But, you know, here's kind of my rule of thought when I'm reviewing these songs, and we all approach it differently. But if there's a song that I, you know, and we listen to these from beginning to end without fast forwarding or anything. But if it's a song that I would pretty much fast forward every time it came on, I'm giving it a 4. And if it's worse, if it's like, if it actually actively grates on my nerves, that's when I go lower. But if it's just something that's like, I mean, that's meh. It's like, okay, I'm not going to listen to this most of the time. It's going to be a fast forward for me. I don't quite feel that strongly about this song. But I will say it was kind of, I gave it a 5.5. I think it's between good and very good. That's kind of where I went with it. But yeah. I wouldn't call it filler either. Only 8 songs on this album. So, you know, like filler, you know, if it's like a 12 song album and you can weed a few off, you really can't weed much off of this album. But yeah, I'm indifferent, and it's probably one of my lower songs on this album. But yeah, 5.5 seemed fair to me.
That's fair enough.
Yep.
All right, well, let's move it to track 7. It's called Castle Walls, Chris. I stood alone.
my soul. There in the dark, the sun kept calling me, leading me on with its haunting melody. Deep in my heart, a voice kept echoing. I knew I'd soon be wandering.
So Castle Walls, is this album is closing out at this point, and you have to take, in my ears, you have to take this song as more of a progressive shift in the record. This song is the most prog rock song in this album because it goes from the vocals of Dennis DeYoung to the harmonies of everybody. You got guitar licks going through. You got a bass line that's driving through this. You've got extended instrumental parts throughout the song. Some, you got some time changes musically. And that's what encompasses, just that what encompasses a great prog rock band. They do this continuously, you know. And this is, and don't get me wrong, this is, I guess it's considered a prog rock album, but this is definitely the most progressive rock song on this record. I do appreciate the instrumentation. I appreciate everything about this song as far as it's listenable to me, and I get it. I know you guys are probably going to kill it. I still think it's a very good song. I gave this one a 6. I know I was joking with Chris a little bit. I was going to give it like an 8 or something, but I did give this one a 6 because I think it's still very good. It may not fall in line with the rest of the record, though. That's the one thing that's a little bit different because it's so progressive compared to the rest of this album. It maybe doesn't quite fit, but I think it falls into what's getting ready to happen in the last song, which is, you know, just a quick short tune. But anyway, I'm at a 6. Jesse, what do you think about Castle Walls?
Well, I mean, this is an interesting song. And you're right, it is, it's very like proggy for me.
It's out there, yeah.
Yeah. For me, it's, you know, it's not my favorite, obviously. Like the beginning part kind of sounds like, you know, the soundtrack to some kids in the late 70s, early 80s playing like D&D in the basement, like Dungeons and Dragons yeah, kids. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and then it kind of, and again, it's got some more rock, you know, rock parts. And then it kind of goes into that like, almost like jazzy guitar
it does, dude,
stuff, which like I don't love it, but it, I find it interesting anyway, and it does kind of like parts of it fit thematically, parts of it fit with the album, I do believe, kind of like some of the more keyboard driven parts. But then when it kind of goes and meanders off of that guitar part, which, because not everything has to be part crazy, of, you right. know, this is not, it doesn't have to be like within any strict like rules of a concept album or anything like that, but It's still interesting, but yeah, this is probably my lowest score. I gave this one a 3.
Bad. Oh my God, that's awesome, dude. That's
but
awesome.
I mean, it's still a good song, and it's still good musicians. But just as far as like my take on
not,
it, you know, compared
by our score,
compared to like other songs on the album.
So it's disappointing.
I get it. That's fair.
It's disappointing. It's fair enough, dude. It is fair enough. It's one of those things. I get it. I get it. All right, Chris, continue the slaughter.
Chris's Flush of the Week.
I think it's pretty obvious this is going to be my flush coming in. You guys are dancing around with your words a lot here to basically say this song sucks. I don't know like how how else you can say it. Okay, it doesn't suck, but I will. Here's my notes. It feels a little too Lord of the Rings for me. Yeah. Another one with a lot of turns and twists, and unfortunately none of them really grabbed me. I would definitely skip this one every time. It's my flush. It's a meh. It's a 4. Yeah, that's pretty much all I got.
Sums it up nicely. All right, well, let's finish this record up with the final track. It's called The Grand Finale.
Yeah.
guys. So the grand finale, also in my ears, the Grand Illusion reprise, short final closing track. It closes out the album as the album came in. I think it's a bang. I think it's great. I think the song was a little short to close out the album, to be honest with you. It's a little disappointing that it's only, you know, less than 2 minutes long. But it ties this whole album theme together, and I think it does a great job of doing it. The interplay of the vocals, the interplay of the vocals and instrumentation throughout this creates a grand atmosphere to close out a record in a fantastic fashion. Like I said, my only complaint about this song is it wasn't a longer one, and I get it. I mean, what was this album, about an hour long or something? So, I mean, it may not be an hour. It's not, maybe it's 45 minutes or something. Yeah. It's not super duper long, but it does leave me wanting more. So that's the one thing I'll say. I think it's somewhere between great and excellent. I gave this one a 7.5. Jesse.
I love this song. It's a great way to end an album. On the face of it, I'm almost like, the balls of these guys, they're almost paying tribute to themselves for writing an awesome album with this song. I'm like, man, that's pretty out there. That's a bold move in my book. But because, I mean, I really do like this. This is a great way to end this album. And I kind of made a couple of notes, like at the beginning, the bass line and the keys are from Superstars, but then the actual vocals is a mashup of, you know, we're saying Sail Away, Superstars.
Yeah.
So it's like mashup of Come Sail Away and Superstars. And I'm assuming there's probably elements of every song in this. And then, then the vocals break in and they're going through the chorus of the Grand Illusion. And then in the background, you can hear the synth line is one of the synth lines from Miss America that they pulled out and they've incorporated into this one song, like a, you know, a mashup or medley of like all the stuff they did throughout this album. And that's really neat. And it combines some of the best elements of some of the best songs on this album. Right. And that's an awesome way to end an album. So I really do like that. It's basically like when you end a paper, you end with a summary to like reiterate all the points you made. And it's almost like what they do with this. It's almost like proper technique for like writing a paper or something like that.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know. I like that. There's something to be said about that. That's cool. I gave it an 8.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, Chris, what'd you think about the grand finale?
Yeah, it's definitely a good way to bookend the album. As you guys said, you know, it's basically just kind of a continuation of the first song. I never picked out where they pulled the synth line from Miss America and that, but that's, I mean, it's pretty cool. And that's, again, you probably have to have a real ear for music to maybe even catch that, because it to me, it just kind of felt like a continuation of Grand Illusion. But I don't really know how to rate this one, because it's kind of just an outro. So I gave the first song a 7. I guess I'll just kind of close it with a 7 as well. But it was, you know, it's a quick song. I do wish they maybe packed one more song on this album. Because actually, Jimmy, it's only 39 minutes long, this album. Wow. Yeah, that's all it is. And I don't know. Which is good, honestly. I mean, nowadays, they put like 50 songs on an album. It's ridiculous. You can't even review them, you know. But yeah, that's a good way to close the album. Definitely a great bookend. I kind of touched on this. I pointed this out to Jesse. We reviewed the latest, well, not the latest, but the album from Ghost there a while back. I think it's Imperium, it's called. And that's kind of what they did. You know, they started with this kind of intro, yeah, and they merged that outro at the very end to be the exact same. It was really cool the way they did that. And I've not heard a lot of bands do that. These guys do it here, so it's neat to see when bands kind of think outwardly like that and put a little time into the way they craft this album, and it's cool way to close it.
All right, so I'm gonna go with my final thoughts here. I'm gonna go ahead and say it. Great pick. I mean, Jesse, that list of albums you had some outstanding records in here. I'm glad we went with this one, because in the past 10 years, or maybe just a little bit less, I really have started listening to like Styx and things like bands like that. Because in my younger years, I was telling Chris before the podcast started, man, I was a greatest hits guy by Styx. I knew the greatest hits, and that's really it. I had the, you know, the CD, and the one album I did have growing up was the Mr. Roboto album. And it's only because it was popular on MTV, and I remember getting the cassette, my mom taking me to Roses or wherever and buying that cassette and listening to it and not really being blown away. So I never really, because I was too young to take in this type of music. This is a mature listen. This band is a mature listen when it comes to albums. They have the hits, don't get me wrong, but to take in an album, you you've got to be able to respectfully listen to it and take it in, you know, note for note. And as I've gotten older, I can do that. I can go back and listen to these albums by this band, like Crystal Ball, Paradise Theater. Great, great albums that I had just missed growing up, and it's just fantastic stuff. I think that The Grand Illusion is a musical journey. I think that it absolutely makes you want to connect with the band with your ears and hear, like you said, we've said it 100 times over the past few years. When you take in an album on headphones, you absorb it. You get to feel what the band wanted you to feel when it comes to this style of music. And, you know, it really does encompass something inside of you to appreciate it more, I think. I do love how they use multiple vocalists. It's primarily two, but, you know, adding in Young with this D. Young and Shaw vocal lines, it really does kind of break the album up a little bit and kind of give you a little bit of break with a little bit of more of an aggressive vocal style. And I do love that. I think the songs are, for lack of a better term, masterfully, you know, they're very, very masterfully written with a couple of tunes that were not as great. I think that this is a timeless album. I think it's a classic record for Styx's discography. I see why the fanfare is there for this album being one of the greatest albums they've ever released. I think that each song creates the storyline and kind of follows through. Knowing some of the history of why some of the songs were written, you know, with the Fooling Yourself, I had no idea it was written as a jab to DeYoung. That's crazy.
I know.
That is just crazy, dude. Because I thought it fell in line with being famous but not being famous. You know what I mean? Because it's what it kind of seems like this album was going to be to my ears. When you found that out, I was like, holy crap, I had no idea. But I do know there was some strife within this band. And I get it. I think DeYoung was more of a homebody. I knew that later because I've watched I subscribed to his YouTube channel because the guy still has pipes. Oh, my God. He can still sing these songs, guys, at 80 years old or however old he is. You know, he's 70s. He's in his 70s. He can still sing these songs. It's amazing. It's amazing.
I remember during COVID, he I think he got up there and sang Sail Away, right, on his
did.
Channel. And
on
was
his
like,
piano,
my
yeah.
God, it's still unbelievable.
I sent that video to you guys. It's insane.
Yeah,
I couldn't believe
unbelievable.
It.
Unbelievable.
I could not believe how well
it was. Just him and his piano and a microphone. That's it.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing. Now, I will say this. If you're a dedicated fan to the prog rock or to Styx, obviously you know this record. But if you're a newcomer, I think it's a must listen. I think this album is an inspiration to musicians that may have fallen away from this prog rock style or new people coming into, you know, rock in general. Go back and listen to this. I think it's a great listening experience. I know my overall score is going to be way higher than y'all's, but I think it's an excellent album. My score was 8.1, and I'm good with that. I think it is an excellent listen. Jesse, your final thoughts.
Well, I mean, and as usual, I forgot to tally up my scores. I didn't remember to score all my songs.
That's all right, man.
Sorry about
that. Right.
But I mean,
just eyeball it, man. It's fine.
You know, my one thing Jimmy briefly talked about it, and this doesn't really tie in like with the music so much, but like it has a really cool album cover too. It's a neat album cover. You know, it was like if you've seen somebody come out with an album today and it had that album cover, it wouldn't be that impressive with like Photoshop and stuff like that. But like to make that album cover happen in, you know, 1977, you know, that was pretty cool stuff. So it's a neat album cover. But like for me, obviously, we talked about it earlier, side A stands out a lot more than side B. But the side B, I think it's a necessary part of this album. You know, they kind of like start, you change it up a little bit, then you start winding down. So I've obviously wore side A of my copy of this album down a lot more than side B, but it was cool to kind of sit down and listen to it and kind of appreciate it more, right? That was neat. Like, I'm always been a fan of, like, keyboards and organs and stuff like that, like, within the context of rock and roll, not so much, like, just listening to the church organist play. I don't get into it like that, but, like, having it mixed with distorted guitars has always been something I've always liked. And that sound, it's like the whatever synthesizer they used has just that kind of grimy sound like we talked about earlier. I love that. The album as a whole, you know, especially side A, but side B as well, just has like this larger than life feel to it. You know what I mean? There's a lot going on, and it just has like an epic sound, right? And I'm not sure, and it's hard to explain why, which kind of is what makes it a good album. Like I can't explain. It's just like I said, you got the ringmaster doing the announcements and stuff like that. It's just kind of like it's just a big sound, a big album. I like it. And again, I've listened to this album with headphones, but not in a long time. And it made me appreciate it even more going back and hearing, like Chris and I were talking about the other day, like having, you know, hearing basically them using the stereo field, like moving things from side to side, having little like we're talking about the one song where you can kind of hear somebody pop in and say something real quick. Little tricks like that you can hear that you're just not going to hear through even stereo speakers, much less laptop speakers. So it's definitely a must for, you know, headphones. So overall, it's just a great album. I would say overall, I'd probably give this album like an 8.5 or a 9, something like that. I don't know if the math works out necessarily with how I rated each song, but that would be my overall.
I guarantee it
not even close.
Because we had pretty similar scores.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Awesome still. Yeah. All right, Chris, what are your final thoughts on this one, man?
Well, first off, Jesse, do appreciate you coming on the show. It's kind of short notice. I threw out there last week. I was like, we're going to have a bit of a gap. And I was like, you know, we always appreciate your what you bring, man. Because honestly, you've got a lot of musical knowledge. And it kind of veers off a little bit from what we listen to a lot of times. You're a little bit younger, so it's great that you know, we have this 80s rock mindset. And you kind of bring something fresh to it, which honestly is really nice to have from time to time on here. So
it's a welcome
appreciate
visit.
You coming
absolutely.
On, for sure.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. Thanks for having me on, man. It's fun.
Yeah. And for me, like as far as Styx goes, I've always been kind of a greatest hits fan, kind of like Jimmy mentioned. As a matter of fact, I've kind of learned most 70s rock over the years. I've kind of been a greatest hits fan until we started doing this podcast. And I'm really glad because like you deep dive stuff, you know, we grew up in the 80s. So like we know these hair metal albums from cover, you know, front to back. But I don't really know a lot of these 70s rock albums from front to back. And over the years, as Jimmy mentioned, I wouldn't call myself a guru, but I do love blues rock. And there's more blues in some of this 70s stuff than there is in the 80s. And I've kind of come to realize, you know, like ZZ Top and, you know, Bob Seger and just all kinds of, I'm not sure I call it blues rock, but it's got a bluesy kind of sound to it. And I really like have grown to love that kind of music. So getting to find these albums fresh eyes really for the first time from beginning to end on some of these albums is a great thing for me. As far as this album goes, you know, the first half is extremely strong. There was a little bit of a dip after Miss America. But, you know, overall, it was a really good album. You know, I've made a note here. I'm sure if Anthony were with us, he would have slobbered all over Castle Walls. I guarantee if he's listening to this, he'll agree. And he's probably yelling at us for giving it a low score.
I did not give it a low score, Anthony. I did not give it a low score, Anthony.
I didn't even bother putting the baby cry on the soundboard today because I knew that it wouldn't be necessary. We'd keep it civil, unlike when Anthony's on. But but anyway, yeah, as far as this score goes, yeah, I gave it a 7.2. That's what I got when I rounded it up. Nice. And I think that's a fair score. That's a shade above great, so that's kind of where I'm going with. And yeah, Jesse, you gave, I think, a 4 and a 3 at the end of this. I'm pretty sure you wouldn't have had a 9 overall when you tallied it.
Yeah, obviously okay. I'm not very
You'd have been closer to 7, probably.
Not
which
very
is great.
Inclined.
Yeah.
Not fun.
Yeah. But that's great.
Can I just like
scale.
Give additional weighting? Can I give additional weighting to like?
You may. And we round up all the
illusion,
time.
Yeah. Maybe something to like build it up.
Yeah.
And it's a 12. Maybe regain some of my mathematical credibility here.
There you go.
Exactly.
Oh my God, that's great. Oh, geez. Well, man, guys, this is fun. And you know, like I said, the bonus episodes are always kind of great. And it is absolutely, you know, it's a pleasure to have you on, Jesse. We love it. You know, we've had a handful of great albums that you've selected over the past.
Yeah.
I guess going on, is it been a year now that you've been doing it with us every once in a while? Has it been 2 years?
I've been on a few episodes. I'd say probably over the past year.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was thinking. You know, it's great that you guys that you're able to kind of, because this was last, like Chris said, this was last minute. I mean, I think what we talked to you on Sunday, or he talked to you on Sunday, like, are you in?
Yeah.
That was great, man. And we definitely appreciate it, because you know we've actually kind of slacked off a little bit. We used to be pretty much every week we'd do something, but now we've gotten to where we're doing it about every other week for the most part. Now we're trying to get a schedule set back up with, you know, with school back in session for our kids, with at least for me and Anthony. Chris's youngins, she's already she's basically an adult in college now, so he didn't have to plan around. Yeah. But for the most part, you know, it's great to be able to fill these in, and we certainly appreciate your insight as always. It's a great conversation no matter what we review. It's a great conversation, and we absolutely appreciate it.
All right, yeah, guys. So, I appreciate you guys having me on. It's always fun. Dude. I like, you know, like running my mouth talking about music. So this works out.
That's
great.
What it's about.
I appreciate
man.
It.
This is why we have this podcast.
These early Sunday mornings. This is our conversation with coffee for the most part, and we I mean it's a great way for us just to connect and hang out. So we do. We
definitely.
Don't. I mean, we don't care about the listens. We just care about being able to talk about and have fun, and it's something that you know, I think it's just become part of us. To be honest with you, I mean this is it, and now you're part of this. You're the extended family of the Audible Ecstasy Podcast for sure. So we love it. We definitely do.
Nice.
All right, guys. I say we wrap this thing up because I know we've gone on for an hour. Good God, short record, long podcast. That's what it goes.
Long-winded short record. There we go.
Absolutely. All right, guys. For the Audible Ecstasy Podcast, this is Jimmy.
This is Chris.
This is Jesse.
And this is it.